One of the advantages of being an elder at this church is sometimes when something is on our heart that we want to share with the rest of you guys, we have plenty of time to think about that. As Pastor Brian's got to crank out a message every Sunday. But what I bring to you today is, if you were with me on the family camping trip, you heard a really short version of what I'm going to bring you today. But what I thought I'd start with is, I get these ideas in my readings of, usually from Scripture. And I was reading a part of Scripture some months ago, and something touched me, and I thought, you know, I really think there's a good message there, and I wanted to bring that to you folks. And so I brought a little bit of this to us at the camping trip. But I was reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and this is a pretty well-known verse where the exchange is Jesus is asked about paying taxes. And he's asked, should we pay taxes? And he responds, they said Caesar's, and he, Jesus, said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And I was reading this at that time, and I got this idea, well, just what belongs to God? Well, of course, the short answer is everything. But I wanted to put a really finer point on it. And so as I was doing some study and thinking about this, I went to Genesis, and I read this verse. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. First of all, when we read this verse and he says, let us make man in our image, this is really the first glimpse of the Trinity. This isn't God and the angels sitting around or God and anybody else. This is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is a huge thing here, because I want to kind of break this part down just a little bit more. Because here we now have God, the Father, says, he formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Nothing else that he's created prior to this did God use his own breath to create. There's something really special about being a human being. God's own breath in the dust of the ground is what makes us. You have to feel that you're extraordinarily special, a special part of creation, to have that. And then Jesus. Jesus says, I'll become man and I'll walk among them and I'll look like them and I'll teach them how to live with one another, how to serve, and I'll be there when they fail, and they will fail, and I'll show them the way back to the Father. And then the Holy Spirit says, I will dwell in them and teach them how to love one another. To teach them to disregard the outward appearance. To not consider too short, too tall, too fat, too thin, too light, too dark, too sick, too healthy. To love each other unconditionally. These are some powerful things that happen to us as human beings that the rest of creation do not get to enjoy. You have to think that we're pretty special creations. Someone asked me recently, Scott, I think, a few weeks ago, John, do you believe that there's life on other planets? I don't think so. Because everything that God made, he made for us. We are the crown jewel of his entire creation. As far out as the telescopes or satellites or satellites with telescopes can see out into the universe. He made that for us. And we're at the top of the heap, king of the hill, crown jewel, whatever you want to say it. We're the best of the best of creation because we're in his likeness. That has to make you feel really special. It does me, not in a proud or boastful way, but in a humble way, that God cares so much that he made me. He didn't do it because he was lonely. He doesn't need me. He gave me free will to reject him, and many of us do. But he created us in his image with his own breath. So if you don't think you're special, you need to really think again, because you are incredibly special. Regardless of what the naturalist would like you to believe about how you are an accident of nature, how you used to be some other life form, totally untrue. We are the only creation anywhere that has self-awareness, that has a mind that can think, we can reason. We have free will. We have freedom to reject our Creator if we choose. In the book of Romans, Paul writes this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're not designed to be conformed to this world. We're supposed to be different because we're special. God says so. The Bible says so. This is another one of Paul's writings. Now, I understand, for you folks that know Scripture, Paul is actually talking about, when he's talking about sowing seeds, he's talking about money. I'm not talking about money. But I saw this verse and I thought, you know, there's more than one lesson oftentimes in Scriptures. The point is this, Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I'm of the opinion that we, because we are so special, we have an obligation to do good things. We're not required to, but I think that our fruit should just be, the good fruit should be falling off of us, and we should be eagerly doing good things for one another and for other people to try to make the world a little bit better place. We should be tankathons, grant builds, whatever it is. God says, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, those are the two biggies. To me, that's kind of like sowing stuff. I kind of think that's important. And then he also writes in Ephesians, therefore the imitators of God, his beloved children. You know, when I was a kid, I think most of us here, we probably wanted to be like our parents. Look, my dad, I kind of wanted to be like my dad. 1959, I wanted to be Roy Rogers. You know, and over the years, I wanted to be other movie characters. I could try to imitate God, and that's not going to happen. I'll probably have better luck, not even no good luck, but better luck trying to get closer to Billy Graham or Bobby Zacharias or someone from that kind of cloth. But be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Whose image is on you? Whose image is on you? I want to read something. I don't have it in my slide, but I want to read something to you here. If you still don't think you're real special, let me read this. This is from Genesis 9. Here's the picture. Noah and his family just got off the boat. The flood has wiped out mankind. God didn't make a mistake when he gave us free will. And we abused that. But he saved eight of us. And when they got off the boat, he gave them some pretty specific instructions. God said, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. This is the death penalty clause that's in Scripture. This is God telling Noah and his family, whoever sheds the blood of man has to pay with his own blood. It's not, you should, you might, you could. This means you will. Now, keep in mind the context here that we're talking about murder. We're not talking about accidental death. We're talking about someone who has got an evil intent in his or her heart to take the life of another defenseless human being. In the womb or out of the womb. I don't see a distinction there. God tells us. Now, some people will make the secular argument about the death penalty being a deterrent or being justice or whatever. I don't see the death penalty as a deterrent, or we wouldn't have any more murders. Justice for us is confined to what we can do on the earth here. We can have a justice system. In fact, later on in the New Testament, Paul talks in his writings in Romans 13 about subordinating ourselves to our civil government. We're supposed to follow the laws of our rulers. But this is something different. And when I read this, I think this isn't God saying, because somebody killed another person, you have to kill them because it's vengeful or it's justice or it's a deterrent. It may be some of those things. But I think what God is saying is, you folks are so special. Your lives are so important to me because I made you in my image. That if someone willfully, with an evil intent, takes one of your lives, I demand that that person pay with his life or her life. I think that this is all about holding life sacred, and it's so important. And that's my takeaway from the death, what people might call the death penalty clause. So here's the question. Whose image is on you? When I was probably 1959, I wanted to be Roy Rogers. And over the years, I wanted to be Superman, or I wanted to be Dirty Harry, or, you know, or something else. But now, I really want to just be a good shepherd, a good father, husband, grandfather, and a shepherd of the church. I really want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people that have not yet heard it. I really want to share with you folks that are on the fence. If you're not sure where you are with Jesus Christ, you need to get sure. And you need to talk to somebody. I mean, I would be happy to talk to you folks, to talk to anybody that's not sure where they are in their walk with Jesus Christ. If you are sure, if you've got Christ in your heart, God bless you and thank you. What are you doing with it? Are you sharing that with somebody else? Kathy always makes fun of my ears because they stick too close to my head. She cuts my hair a lot, and she has difficulty cutting around them. It's hard to keep things hooked on my flat ears. I guess it's better than Dumbo ears, though. I don't know. What are you doing with your information? What are you doing with your life as a Christian? Are you sowing generously? Are you sharing the good news of the gospel with other people? I want you just to think for just a minute. We just started a brand new month right now. Just think about last month. 31 days, just last month. And don't answer out loud. Ask yourself, how many people did I share the gospel with in October? How about September? How about August? How far back do you have to go before you find someone that you share the gospel with? What if you haven't? Well, you sure should. I mean, it's great stuff. It's the way out. So whose image is on you? What are you going to do to have God's image on you? If you don't yet know Jesus Christ, if you haven't accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, there's no time like the present. And I would be happy to meet anybody in the back of the church or over a cup of coffee in the multi-purpose room or any place private here on the grounds to talk with you about that. Thank you very much. I have a short announcement to make. I don't know that anybody else realizes this, but my brother Greg, this is his last Sunday with us. Greg is moving to California, he and Julie. And I'm going to miss him. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to really pray for him because he's moving to California. But I wanted to give him a hug, and I wanted to say God bless you, and thank you, brother. And I hope that each of you guys will take the time to do that today. Do you have a song? Great. Let me close us in prayer, and then Brian has got a great seminar for us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege that we enjoy of being created by you, by you breathing your very own breath of life into each and every one of us, to give us life, to give us the opportunity to know you, to glorify you, to praise you, and to love you. Father, thank you for your Son who came here and gave his life for us so that our sins would be washed, so that we could be with you. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells in each of us that know and love you. And Father, I ask for a blessing on everybody here today, that you touch them and you take care of them. And it's in your Son's name that we offer this prayer. Amen.